Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, live from WGN Radio, where we are enjoying another great view. I am fresh off of, not totally fresh, but like within a month fresh, of spending a ton of money on Boo-Ray, my beloved Bazenji dog. He had like a growth, and part of it's that we're just shallow people, and we wanted to make sure that we removed it because, you know, who wants a bump on their dog? But also, I just want to make sure that the little dude's healthy. And so we took him into the vet, and I'm not going to get into the fact that I think that the vet was completely full of shit in everything that they did. But I will say that my little guy's healthy now, and I now understand why pet insurance exists. So I thought, why not share the lesson that I learned and learn a little bit more about how I can maybe not spend $1,500 on a doggy bump again in the future by bringing Rusty Sproat, CEO of Figo Pet Insurance, back on, well, your first time on the show. Figo is not the first time for you on the show, to talk a little bit more about what I learned about my little pet adventure. And then it turns out, Rusty, you guys have some pretty cool stuff to drop that is coming to all of us and to users across the country, I would assume, yep. In the pet insurance world that I just got a sneak peek of, and it's amazing. It looks amazing. I can already see you've got something for everyone. My father will never see our family again because he's going to be at little Bazenji meetups all over the place, which he already like scarfs around on Facebook trying to find. Like
Instagram.
He's, oh my God. He's don't say Instagram. He'll download Instagram and then our whole family is screwed.
Yeah.
He literally like looks at dog stuff all day long, and he's got like a little powwow of friends now in Naperville and like Hinsdale, like all over the place. And they met because of my Bazenji. Like he wants to take the dog to other Bazenji things. And I love my dog, but I never realized that that was a thing. Turns out it's a massive thing. People love to like have their breed with other breed owners. They understand
They're
it. They talk about
it. Centric. Like I got a Boston and I'm all about Boston Terriers.
That's so like, I didn't think I was that guy. Now I am that guy. Like now I have a Bazenji. I'm like, it's all Bazenji. Bazenji or bust. Yeah. Like they're such a fascinating breed. But that said, that's just one part of this. There's also the social media component of this app, which is addictive as hell, that he will also be on. Sorry, Dad, you're screwed. This is how this is going. And then the other part of this that you're going to talk, I'm going to have you talk through all this stuff, but I'm just giving you a plug.
Yep.
My wife, my wonderful wife, when she finds out that she can just text, and my mom to a lesser extent, that they can just text a healthcare provider or whatever in 7 seconds or less, get a response on questions about the dog, I'll never see them again.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, that's, I don't know if you noticed that there's a theme here in my family. I'm going to be all by myself. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you more about this because, I am from a dog owner standpoint, I just want to learn about pet insurance and like how this works. From a tech startup, an entrepreneur standpoint, I am obsessed with the model that you guys are running on, which is essentially building an incredibly valuable asset and value prop for people and putting your product essentially behind it and saying, listen, like, if you care this much about this, you'll learn about this and then this and then this. And eventually you'll find out that if you care this much about your pet, you should insure it, which is a brilliant model. And we'll talk about that as much as you will allow in the show. Yeah. But why don't you give us a rundown a little bit about like Figo, the background, how you guys got here, and then let's pick apart this new program you guys are launching because it looks amazing.
Yeah, for sure. So we spent a year and a half at 1871. So we really wanted to be a technology company with a health insurance product, pet health product. We didn't want to be a typical insurance company trying to leverage technology.
Yep.
So we spent a year and a half trying to figure out exactly what you said is how can we develop Figo on a value and use model. So like I talk about it a lot, value and use versus value and exchange. So Cash App and Venmo, you use it, it's free, you don't pay for it. That's a pure value and use product, and they have millions of customers. Typically, businesses are value and exchange, where the value is all based around the exchange of money. So with this V3 app, we really wanted to provide a free app and value in people just using the app without requiring them to buy the insurance.
Yeah.
So we launched in 2015. And for the past 3.5 years, we've been working off this V1, V2 version of our Pet Cloud, the FICO Pet Cloud. So for the past 17 to 18 months, we've really been developing this value and use V3 model, which is what you saw. And we're launching that to our customers in October, and then we'll launch it for free in the U.S. to anyone in January.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So on the pet insurance side of this, I don't know. I mean, Bure 7. You would think at this point I would know more about it. I would look into it. Enough times I've gone to the vet and like paid out the nose. Like you'd think I would at some point get the gist. I know it's a huge market, but tell us a little bit more about the pet insurance world, because there's something about it to me that I always was like, I can just imagine. It's like dental insurance. I could just imagine I'm going to pay for this. I'm going to go there and go like, well, you know, that counts for white teeth, but that's a darker tooth. We don't pay for those. Like, how does it, like, what is the world like? Because I feel like what you've created from what Kevin, who came on the last time, what the V1 at this point, I think when he came on, what it looked like to me was it made it much, I don't want to say easier to sign up, but easier to understand.
Yeah.
It was more clear of like what you were getting and why.
We tried to make it simple, right?
Yeah. So it was much, you couldn't argue that this was a scam. Like you could actually be like, that's for me.
So the pet insurance started in the U.S. in 1982 with Lassie, right? And so the pet insurance plans across the U.S. have become more similar than dissimilar, which is a good thing. So now they're basically cover the same things and have the same coverages, whereas 10 years ago, some companies had poor coverages and pet insurance got a bad rap.
Yep.
But basically, it covers accident and illness. There's some wellness plans also, but we wanted to make it very transparent and very simple. So when you go on our website, it's what's covered, what's not covered. We wanted to be able to electronically pay customers when they file a claim right from their mobile phone. And at the time, even just 3.5 years ago, there's forms and there's fax machines. And it's like, who wants to fill out a form and send a fax, right? So we just really tried to make a lot of those things easier for the pet parent. But pet insurance is really good with veterinary costs rising and with vet care mirroring human healthcare.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing. So when you go to a vet specialty hospital's website, it says oncology, radiology, MRI, chemotherapy. You wouldn't know that it was an animal hospital.
Can I tell you about like the vet experience?
Yeah.
Like this was the most, like, again, I'm a very divided human. On one side, I am an empathetic human being. And on the other side, I'm like a robotic business operator who just like loves to see profits.
Yeah.
And it's like the one part of me is looking at this like, this is my dog. And like, be careful and cautious. Make sure he's a good guy and he's happy and like everything's good. And then on the other side, I'm like, you're a smart MF. Like, I can't believe you just did this. You just divided this operation into 52 upcharges.
Yeah.
They actually asked me if I wanted to IV him, and then that was an upcharge.
Yeah.
Would you like us to use a scalpel or a laser? Yeah. That's an upcharge.
Lab
Would you
work,
like
375.
Gauze? Oh, my God. They literally parceled this thing out to the point where it was like, you dissected my pooch.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
That, like, I feel like if I was starting an insurance group, I would just try to combat that.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So pet insurance is rated on age, breed, and zip code. So if you have a 7-year-old Great Dane, your dog is about to die, right?
Yes,
I mean, Great Danes just don't live past 7 years old. If you have a small mixed breed that's going to live to 20, your rate's going to be cheaper. So we pretty much know hereditary, congenital, breed, age. We pretty much know what diseases your dog's prone to get, or cat, at what age, right? So when you're looking at pet insurance in general, we've humanized our pets. The advances in medicine are ridiculous. We're not euthanizing pets anymore if it's a $1,000 bill.
Yeah.
So the whole cycle of the humanization and the
it's
and
literally
the medicine,
too expensive to kill our pets.
Yeah. So it's really serving a need now. So the average pet insurance premium in the U.S. is about $550 a year on average. So for $40 or $50 a month, you can get $10,000 or $15,000 in annual coverage. So the it's interesting. So people, when they talk about is pet insurance a scam or whatnot, they try to compare it to other insurance products.
Yep.
You go your whole life hoping you're never going to file an auto claim.
Yep.
I can absolutely guarantee you if you buy pet insurance, you will file claims at some point.
I will be the exact person to describe that. I said it myself when I introed this. I compared it to other insurances. And I absolutely, in retrospect, I didn't know that. Like, unless you have, if you go in, if you're, let's say you're so lucky, and then we had like cats and stuff before this. We never had this. Like, we would have your normal shots, which I guess, you know, like, yeah, they're expensive, but in the end, like, would I buy insurance to protect against the $100 and something shots every time? Probably not. But if you've never had a surgery, like a real surgery, holy cow, like it's thousands of dollars. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And like the thing that, is 10 years ago,
you could go broke.
Yeah, you took a 4-year-old dog that had a 20-year lifespan to the vet with cancer. They said, oh, dog's got cancer. Sorry, it's going to die.
Yeah.
We just paid a $22,000 cancer claim. So, and it was a 4-year-old dog.
Yeah.
So,
I would bankrupt. I'm not going to say this to my investors, but I would bankrupt Technora to keep BooRail. I will absolutely put your investment on my life support line for BooRail.
So there's such a need today because they're doing 10 times more stuff.
Yep.
And the technology is there for pets today than they were ever doing before. So it's really, that's why the industry
is. They're doing knee jobs on dogs, folks. Like, that's real. Like, they're doing knee replacements on dogs.
Knee, yeah. I mean, my ophthalmologist for Buster, because he's a 13-year-old Boston Terrier, he's got a cataract, they're researching cornea replacements. And I was like, no, I'm like, that's okay.
Just because I'm wearing a FIGO shirt doesn't, I'm not the asshole.
Yeah, it has to be medically necessary, but I mean, so it's unbelievable what they're doing for pets today.
Yeah.
It mirrors human healthcare.
So I have to ask you, and this could go in any number of directions, but what is your background? How did you get into, were you in the pet space?
I wasn't. So people are always like, oh, it's brilliant, this whole technology play and pet insurance. And I tell them it had nothing to do with brilliance. It had to do with desperation. I spent 20 years in real estate and property management and did really well when the real estate market did well, and then did really bad when that market did bad. Two kids having to put food on the table. Really bad times in 2006, 2007, 2008.
I was the commercial property manager right there with you in the 2000 through 2010.
Yeah. So I said, I got to figure out how to a career shift.
Yep.
So the reoccurring business model with insurance, I'm like, let me just get my feet wet, got all my insurance licenses, and then realized, well, what insurance company is going to want to hire me? That's almost out of business as a real estate developer. So I bought 3 Allstate agents.
Nice.
3 books of business in Chicago with the intention of just getting my feet wet and learning insurance and then flipping them and selling it and just doing something else in insurance.
Such a real estate guy.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the same story when people ask me, like, oh, how'd you get into the Technora stuff? It's like, I used to like flip properties.
Yeah.
I used to shape them up like, oh, that looks like a piece of junk. I bet we could shine it up and flip it. I go to Startup World, it's 1871.
Yeah.
Same time you're in there. And I'm like, these kind of look like the same junky properties that I saw in real estate. I just need to sparse them up, give them a good brand and flip them. That's so funny.
Yeah. So someone walked in my office in 2012, in January of 2012, from Allstate. And she said, oh, I just bought pet insurance. And my head spun around. And I started researching it and looking at the industry and the growth, and it was void of technology. It was cheesy. Everything was purrific or pawtastic or had a paw print on it or a stock photo of a puppy. And I thought it was cheesy. And I thought that what a great opportunity to change an industry with technology and a lifestyle brand. And within 4 months, I had the agency sold. I was renting a 10-foot by 10-foot room at Newport and Clark in Lakeview, sitting there by myself. For a year researching technology and pet insurance, and then I got admitted to 1871 in 2013 and spent 2 years there.
I love you say I got admitted like it's a crazy house.
Well, you know what
it is?
Back then there was an actual membership committee.
Yeah. Oh, are they still? Oh, yeah. I was there then at that same time too. Is that not there anymore?
When Howard Tolman was there, he disbanded the membership committee.
What?
And so now it's almost like a cool technology WeWork, but I had to submit an application, a video.
Yeah, I did the same thing. We had to do an interview. There was all this stuff. Like, that's gone?
I didn't
even notice that.
It's all gone.
How do I not know this?
Yeah.
So like literally anyone can go there now.
I believe so.
I feel like that sucks.
I think so.
I think like,
since I had to do all the submission and do
all
the
work. Well, yeah, not just for personal reasons. I mean, yeah, for that reason, I agree. Because I remember I sat in my parents' basement. I had left real estate for the same reasons you did. I went to Northwestern because I'm stupid and wanted to give my money away. And what little money I had. And then I was like, all right, well, this is not going anywhere either. So I'm going to start getting the startup world. And 1871 was where I was going. And I remember sitting in the basement, like trying to move stuff to the side so I didn't look like I lived in my parents' basement. And like doing this video, trying to talk to who I thought was like, I remember looking at the board. It was like Tom Kaczmarski, some folks from Chase, Howard, a few others. And I was like, in my head, I'm talking to them while I'm pitching. I'm like holding a picture. I'm like, this is going to be the next big whatever. And now you can just go in there and just drink beer.
Well, that, yeah, I don't know exactly how the process is. I know that when we were still there that they had disbanded the membership committee.
Yeah.
So I don't know what their process is now, but I think it's a lot easier to get in there. I think they just wanted to make
it. I don't feel like that's a good thing.
More
I mean, accessibility is yeah. good. We're all for that. It's yeah. just like the problem that I see with WeWork is like it seems, I like WeWork. We've actually had them as a sponsor before, so I'm not trying to shit on anyone who will be a sponsor yeah. later. But I will say it's hard. This is hard work. Like yeah. people like to make it seem like it's cool and hot and sexy and it's like the coolest thing ever. And it's like, it's really not like yeah. at all. And you don't make any money until you make a lot of money or you make nothing.
Yep.
And to have people roaming around, nipping at your heels and trying to pseudo mentor and like all this other stuff is actually like a massive distraction. And it was the reason I left, you know, all the co-working places. So to see it go that way, like I think that the to have a good entrepreneurial community, you really have to have an infrastructure that protects you,
yeah,
not one that makes you just exposed to everybody.
But it's also economics. I mean, I think when we were there was 50,000 square feet and 250
yeah, well, it's
people.
Huge now. It's
and now it's 175,000 yeah. square feet, right? Yeah, so I just true. Think that opening it up allowed them to offer more services to the people. But I agree with yeah, you. Yeah. I mean, we left there. I mean,
I digress.
Yeah, yeah. yeah it's okay.
We don't want to make fun of our yeah, yeah. of our home brother.
No, right. I mean, it was invaluable.
They're very helpful. And Howard is a huge yeah. fan of the show. I love Howard. And what they've built there is incredible. It's just. I shy on the err on the side of caution when it comes to like opening the droves to anyone yeah. who wants to tell people that they're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Anyway, back on point here. I love your background in this story because I think first off, you picked the right city. I mean, you're obviously from Chicago anyway, yeah. but like pick the right city because InsurTech in Chicago is just rocking and rolling. Yeah. LightBank is throwing money at everything that has any sort of coverage plan between Kin Insurance and we've got ClearCover and what's Brad Snapsheet and yeah. there's a bunch of them. So you're in the right spot. I love where you're going. Your take on changing the way that going from the hokey
yeah.
doggy paw insurance type stuff to like making it a professional,
yeah.
a real institution that you can trust yeah. is brilliant. But my biggest thing about listening, I listen to founder stories all the time. My biggest thing about hearing you tell me your journey is flat out. I just think people who don't come, like they tangentially come from this space, but they don't come from pet care.
Yeah.
Are the best disruptors of it because they are not already tied to old bad habits.
Yep.
You come into this and go, I don't know what the hell you guys saw for the last 25 years, but that is dumb.
Yeah. And everyone in the industry, sometimes they do the same thing the same way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They're like yeah. sheep. Speaking yeah. of pets.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if sheep are pet, but whatever.
I don't want to know someone who has a pet sheep.
I mean, I'm not going to speculate. You know what? Let's move on to yeah. another subject. That's yeah. it's a slippery slope. No, but at any rate, I just think you're right. It's a new perspective. But I also just think there is something to be said for discovery. And in your industry, it's one of the reasons that we've always, like in the company that I tried to launch and pitch at 1871, ironically as it is, was one that was disrupting the way you innovate. So like internal companies, I have long been a proponent of picking a mosh unit of people from across your company, not from one area, because they're already stuck in yeah. their thought process. There's no new discovery because they know everything because they've been doing it 20 years. You come into this and like, let me get this straight. Everything is a stock photo of a pooch. That's your sales pitch. Really? Yeah. Are you serious? You can't sell premium prices right now. That's done. Like just yeah. because of the logo alone, I can't sell premium. And you looked at it and go, I don't know enough. I'm going to take an apartment for an office for a year. And I'm going to learn everything about this. And like by doing that, you learn more about the industry than the quote unquote industry leaders.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, I mean, you're
that's why I say it was out of desperation.
yeah. No, it's great.
I'm like, I have to make this work. I have to make this work. So lived off my savings for 2 years or two and a half. It was a long.
Good savings. Pretty yeah. good deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. Real estate
I left
guy,
real estate and I actually still had savings.
I was going to say, you had the S word. That's something that yeah. most of us were like,
yeah.
recollection word.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me a little bit more about, I want to talk a little bit more about the V3.
Yeah.
Have you walk us through a little bit of it in the experiential way. And I just want to pick apart in a good way, pick apart yep. The parts that I think are just uniquely innovative.
Yep.
I think when Kevin came on, I thought the entire idea was innovative, which is why we have you back on. I just, for those listening that caught that little line that you made when you said about the logos and just kind of the cheesiness of it.
Yeah.
That little identifier shapes this company, FIGO, from being just whatever to like a massive insurance base player. Yep. And you've got all these people who are going to come your way, but you'll lose them if you don't give them something to stick around.
Yeah.
And you've created this like funnel. And it to me, it's just a really brilliant move. So
talk through it a little bit. Yeah. So from day one, you know, we wanted to provide a free platform to help parents manage their pets' life. So that's always been our goal. And we're finally getting there after 3.5 years. So now this V3 is when you'll be able to download the free app in January and you'll put your pet's information in. It'll say, "Good morning, Scott." It'll know what kind of pet you have. It'll show you other pets that are similar breed or other pets that may be celebrating a birthday on that day. It's very similar to the top portion of like a Facebook, and it's really like a Facebook for pets. So you can, and we're connecting people. That's what a lot of times there's confusion around is we're connecting people through their pets, right?
Yeah, so dogs don't have thumbs, so like it's hard for them to click on connect.
So I've got a Boston Terrier, so I could actually go and I could search for Boston Terriers around me, and it'll show me every Boston by distance. It'll show me a little tiny picture of the pet parent. I can look at the family profile. I can message the pet parent. I can find a dog park or a restaurant and create a play date. We're going to push pet events. There's a thing called the Yappy Hour, very popular in California. We'll actually start to show you the pet expo, the pet events, the pet events that are at dog parks. We'll actually start to dynamically show you content.
Can you filter as well then? So like at a certain point, can I filter out to know like I only go to events with other people where alcohol is involved?
You can start your own groups. So the whole point is a social connectivity of people, right? Through their pets.
So for people like this is so really cool stuff, but like one major problem is a person who has a dog that has like hyper issues. Like he can't be left alone. We have to take him everywhere. And when we want to go out to dinner, like until just recently we found a care.com like person, which is another solution that I'm sure comes on this platform, to watch a dog. We haven't been out wife and my parents like family dinner in like 4 years because there's no one to watch the dog on a Saturday night.
Yep.
So like that's a problem. So we look for places to go eat with dog friendly, and every place says they are, and then you go there and they're not. Yep. Or it's like, yeah, as long as you sit outside with your hand out here or past the fence and the dogs don't it's not pet friendly. That is a major problem solver.
Yep.
To be able to actually have a place like people are vetting and saying, nope, pet-friendly food. Like,
yep. So we have an explore option. So you can go in and you can hit explore and it'll show you popular pet-friendly businesses around you. It'll show you pet events around you. You can go in dog walkers, daycare, hikes, trails, pet-friendly hotels. And then you can go to cafes and restaurants. And we actually show you based on the Google results searches if Google says it's pet-friendly. But then we take you in and we actually let you rate it as pet-friendly and comment on it. So it's going to be crowdsourcing in communities and actually verifying, yes, this is pet friendly. So you could find a truly pet friendly outdoor patio that you could take your dog to.
That's awesome. And I just threw it out there, but are you guys actually going to be in the space of like helping maybe find dog sitters and walkers and things like
absolutely.
That?
So on the app, it says dog walkers, groomers, boarders, pet hotels, pet friendly restaurants. So there's all of these pet businesses and you just touch it and it shows up like a Yelp or a Google search and it's map view or list view and it shows you everything you need to know. And very then cool. For like I was showing you, for our policy holders, the people that do have a policy, they get free 24/7. They can text with the vet.
Very cool. That's brilliant.
Yeah, or a vet technician. So if it's 1 o'clock in the morning and your dog's tooth is bleeding, you can actually, and we're going to be introducing video chat with vet technicians next year as well, you can live text someone and explain the condition and tell them what's going on. And they'll say, hey, you should go to the emergency room for your pet, or actually you'll be fine and wait till the morning. So it'll actually help pet parents save money because the ERs for pets, the vet specialty hospitals, of course, any ER you go to at night is super expensive.
Yep, so, absolutely.
So there's lots of, there's 12 features of our app and only one of them is insurance related. The other 11 are all value and use.
Which is completely brilliant, I think, in the world of, I look at, not just because we got our kind of thing going through media, but like, I always look at the lens of businesses and brand through media. And it's like, you could spend tons of money on conversion and like trying to run ads and trying to do whatever to get people on this. But in the end, the fastest, cheapest way for you to do it is to just build something people like let them play on there. And like they've earned you, they use your platform already. They're going to trust you. Yeah. Like you're the one who knows everything.
And every vet bill you get in the top right hand corner, it says Board of Telec, you know, it's all of the shots that you need on an annual basis. So what we've had this entire reminder section. So you can take a picture of that bill and it'll OCR and it'll read all of the shots. It'll put all of those in as reminders for you and send you push notifications. medications when those annual shots and visits are due. So there's a lot of things that we're introducing into the app that are truly to help pet parents spend less time and make it easier for them.
And of course, naturally, you have a pretty sweet data play here, I suspect.
A sweet what?
Data play. I suspect you guys have a lot of information you're collecting with this. And
yeah, you know, it's interesting with GDPR and what we're collecting and what we're collecting anonymously. And, you know, people have always asked, how do you monetize this? How do you put ads in it? And the goal for us is to never put an ad ever.
I don't see the connection to ad there. I see the data play here in particular. I mean, there's other things you can ask for permission for data to use to sell or whatever. Yeah. That's a different thing. I just look at the ability for you to better understand, you know, really in a way that traditional insurance for humans never has, what people go through. What's the typical cycle of a dog like?
And that's AI and machine learning and looking at what places people are going to, what time they're going there, what kind of groups they're creating in the app.
Imagine like just centralizing the idea to find out, in truth, how many pets are actually getting their proper vaccinations and proper shots in a timeline that's whatever versus lifespan.
Yeah.
Like, and then information for you to use to advertise whatever, you know, whether it's FICO insurance or something later, the ability for you to be like, just letting you know, if your pet's like out of propensity to go to get your shots, that pet lives 3 years longer. Like, just FYI.
Yeah. And it was, and I don't want to say easier, but I think it's really hard for technology, especially for startups that have a non-monetized app that are trying to raise money and make it sustainable, because of development, the maintenance, the marketing, all the things that you have to do for a free app.
Yep.
At some point you have to monetize it,
right?
Cash App and Square are now charging you if you want to get your money sooner. I mean, at some point. So for us, the beauty is that we have a reoccurring revenue model with the pet insurance premium that's subsubsidizing and paying for the technology that we're pushing through.
Just saving you a ton of money in marketing.
So we don't have to do the ads, and we don't have to succumb to how do we monetize the
app. And you don't need advice from me, but I'll tell you, the only 2 cents I can give you is dealing with investors and so forth. Have you guys raised any significant capital yet? I assume you've raised
some. So we've raised about $13 million to date.
Yep. Okay. And any major players from, like, who are the players that
are investing? So we've done all private investors. So
So you know your way around
the club. We've taken no institutional money, knock on Formica, as of yet.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we've been running the golf course, the country club route?
Is that I got introduced to those people.
Yeah. That's a secret. That's where I like to hide.
Yeah.
So, just because I like golf, you know. I like to golf.
Yeah, so we went that route intentionally, and now we're looking to do a Series B, and we're looking to do a lot more. One out of every three Fortune 500 companies offers pet insurance as a supplemental employee benefit today, from Google to Facebook to Coca-Cola and BMW. So we're actually about to launch RV3. We're wireframing RV4, and we're whiteboarding RV5. So for us, it's a pipeline. Every year, we're just going to push more technology out.
I dig it. This is awesome. So I have to say, like, the only advice I have to have on any of these investors when you start to go this Series B route and stuff like that is, whatever you do, do not let them put ads on any of this.
Yeah.
Like, if you try to monetize content in any way or make a paywall or like, oh my
God. The good
news
is we don't need a Series B. We're exploring a Series B.
Well, that's the way to go. It's a good position to be in.
Yeah, it's a much better position.
That's awesome. Well, let's stay in touch in this stuff. Where do people go to learn more about FICO and just to download the app? When's it available? Yeah. All that good stuff.
FICOPetInsurance.com. We're launching a new website October 1st. The artificial intelligence, the new app, everything's going to come out in October. But you can go there now and click on the Pet Cloud and get a quote and see what we're doing.
I got to tell you, you're going to end up going down, I think, as one of the success stories of 1871. They talk about companies and stuff, but there's like Spot Hero and a few other ones that actually started at 1871, not just like had a weekend pass or whatever.
Yeah.
So I wish you guys a lot of luck. I think you're on the right path. I mean, everything I've heard from you so far is like, God, I wish most founders were sitting here and spoke like this.
So. Well, as my grandma used to say, from your lips to God's ears. So.
I used to hear a little different version of that, but I get the gist of what you're saying. Very cool. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Of course. You can catch this episode and more at technori.com. You can download the podcast wherever you get podcasts, but you can check them out on Spotify or Apple iTunes or wherever else you go. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, everything else, Instagram, @technori, and you can follow me @Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.